Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. Simon Gear, he's a climatologist, he's a national authority on global warming and green issues, joins us this morning. Simon, good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Good morning to you.
So why didn't South Africa sign this agreement? Now, it was a side agreement to COP26, wasn't it? Can you explain to us, can you give us some context, I guess?
Yeah, so there's basically the main negotiations that go on that are fairly strictly controlled by international protocols, you know, to which all of the attendees are signatories and so on. And then there are these pledges and, you know, which are often quite PR-based exercises, you know, which countries will sometimes sign on to so that they can grab a good headline at home or something like that. They do have some weight in that, obviously, if you've signed a no-coal pledge, when you then go into the actual negotiations, you know, other countries can hold that against you or can, you know, can force you to abide by that. So from what I understand, what we've done is said we're not going to sign this no-coal pledge because we don't want to weaken our position when we are in the proper negotiations, as it were. But I think also it's probably a sign of the sort of real politic of the situation. Earlier on this week, or last week, our environmental minister, Barbara Creasy, you know, said some quite positive things about the sort of steps that South Africa was willing to make to, you know, to attend a green future. And within, you know, not even a day, the minerals minister, Gwede Mantashe, was, you know, behind a microphone saying absolutely coal is a part of South Africa's future. And we've seen this at many, many COPs before. As long as I've been paying attention, there's been this tension between the Department of Environmental Affairs and the various sort of departments of mining and minerals and industry. And these sort of public pronouncements are actually quite common, where the two ministers seem to contradict each other because they have very, very different mandates.
So what is likely to happen? I mean, does that signal a lack of intention on South African side?
I think South Africa is in a tricky position because we certainly recognize in policy that that climate change is a massive problem, that it's going to make parts of South Africa literally uninhabitable, and that we need to do something about it. But we, on the flip side of that, firstly, we have, I think, a completely valid opinion that this is not a problem of our making, that the industrial revolutions of Europe and North America in the late 19th and early 20th century are absolutely what put us on this path. And why should developing countries have to pick up that bill? So I think that that's a very, very valid statement. But that said, we are also, I think, per capita, the world's, you know, biggest producer of coal-fired carbon dioxide. And so we have to do something about that. But any member of government will tell you that when it push comes to shove, keeping the lights on is probably the single biggest issue for South African voters at the moment. And any voter is not going to be keen on a situation which increases the vulnerability of our ability to produce power. And if we're not even managing to keep the lights on with all of the shallow coal that we have, then to start trying to transition to something else entirely is going to be risky. I mean, obviously it does offer an opportunity, you know, if coal is not working for us, then we have to start looking at other wider ways of producing energy. But in the short to medium term, the priority of government is certainly going to be just trying to keep the power grid going.
Yeah, I guess at this stage, and that's what happens, is your first priority is to provide electricity. It's only once that's happening that you can actually turn your head away a little bit and start looking at other things. I mean, I know you should be doing it at the same time, and as we introduce more sustainable power, it needs to be just that, clean energy, etc. But at this stage, with the desperation that we are clearly experiencing, it's much harder to do.
Yeah, and I think we absolutely blew it with the international community with Medupe and Kusile, where we had this opportunity to build latest generation coal-fired power that should have been very, very efficient, that should have had all sorts of technology to limit the amount of pollution that was coming out of those. And of course, what we did is we allowed corruption to put shortcuts into those projects, completely discredited them in the international community's eyes. And as a result are dealing with two brand new power stations that instead of being, you know, role models of what coal could look like are a thundering embarrassment. And so I don't blame the international community for saying, well, you guys haven't shown you can be trusted with coal. You need to actually, come under pressure to do other things.
Mm. Early on in at the conference, there was some talk about significant amounts of money, I think from Biden, that was being allocated to South Africa. Is that still happening, and what is that for?
So, these will always come in the form of investments, or preferential trade deals so that you can get American engineering companies coming in and helping to develop, various aspects of an industry. They're not gifts by any stretch of the imagination. But they are, there is supposed to be an obligation by developed countries to help all developing countries, not just South Africa, with greening their grids and improving the efficiency of industry and all of that. Not all of that money's come through, to be honest, and a lot of it's quite heavily tied up in red tape and so on. And so what South Africa doesn't want to do is sign anything which means that they cannot attract finance for further coal development, because that would be catastrophic to South Africa's current setup where we are so overly reliant on coal. But I think anything that does improve our ability to develop new sources of energy, even if it's just things like decentralized solar, rooftop solar panels and those sort of things, we absolutely need to be looking at them. And I think we need real innovative leadership from ESCOM to recognize the power and the value of those types of technologies.
And that is unfortunately all we have time for. Simon Gear, thank you for chatting to us this morning and giving us a overview of the COP26 as it relates to South Africa. It is 8:42. I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 061-895-1019. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.